I noticed that when I was watching the trailer for it. I was like, so basically, it's not like Marvel where they can sell it on just the Marvel name. They have to sell it on the Batman name, which is kind of unfortunate, but in its own way.
Works.
Well, that it's for that reason that we have Superman versus Batman.
No, I thought the reason we had that was just, you know, because DC hates making movies.
Well, that too.
There are several reasons, and that's a big
they're kind of bad at it, too.
They're really bad at it, but, you know.
Why can't they all just be Fox? Because Fox either makes really awesome things, like, you know, the recent X-Men movies, or they make incredibly awful things, like the Fantastic Four movie that's coming that's also going to be amazing.
Yeah, has anyone read that leaked synopsis yet?
Blogger Doom!
I heard about that, which is just like the best worst idea.
It's like
so you're looking for this to be the next Catwoman, basically.
Basically, yes.
It isn't confirmed yet, but yeah, it's pretty much in line with all the leaked details we've heard.
Basically, what it's shaping up to be is an homage to mid-90s shitty comic movies that everyone hates, like Batman and Robin, where it just takes the source material and just pounds its ass repeatedly until it's left a gaping, cum-dripping, bloody hole.
Convenience store clerk, okay.
What? Let me look at this.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Doom's name is Victor Dumashev.
Reed is the genius convenience store clerk with Ben. Oh, the first line, it's already amazing. Oh my god.
This is so amazing.
It's so terrible, I can't even be offended.
This is the level of property mishandling I was kind of hoping that Paul W. Anderson would have done to Castlevania if he had gone through with that project.
Oh, that would have been great.
Because I imagine like his vision of it would be like, had Dracula been a computer virus, and the Belmonts would be like a street racing gang, and they'd fight Dracula's computer virus with their whips, which are their cars they've tricked out.
And of course, gotta find some way to shove his wife in there.
Well, yeah, and Paul Walker would have been playing Simon Belmont, of course.
Rest in pieces.
Oh.
Wow, this is amazing.
Technopathy powers.
It's enough to make you almost miss the 2005 version.
Doom hates the 1%.
Yes.
This is from a character who rules a freaking country in the comics.
All of this reeks me of Fox is basically just trying to give Marvel Studios the middle finger, saying, we've got your property, you can't touch it, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why they put Quicksilver in Days of Future
Past. How much money do you want to pay us to get this back before we drag it through the mud?
Yeah, because Quicksilver doesn't even really... I mean, that could have been any character, and it doesn't really matter to you, because he's there, he does some stuff, and then he's gone for the rest of the movie.
Wait, we're talking about Quicksilver and the X-Men?
Yes.
No, he was like the best part of that movie.
Yeah, but at the same time,
How much does that say about that movie?
He just kind of goes away, and then it's just...
Well, he went away because he wasn't a part of their crusade. He did what he did for fun, and then he didn't care about anything else.
It does stick out as like, we could have used basically whoever we want, but we're going to use this. Because Marvel's using him, too.
Possibly, but his scene rivaled the Nightcrawler scene.
Oh, yeah, so it's good.
I'm okay with
scene.
It.
It's a good scene. It's just, it reeks of ulterior motives.
Also, he does look to be cooler than the upcoming Quicksilver in Avengers, so...
Yeah, I'm already kind of worried about that.
I'm not going to compare the two. They're two different movies trying for two different things.
Mainly because that guy was in Godzilla and he's horrible in it.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, in Garo, one actor was a horrible piece of cardboard, and in another show, he was Ryoma.
This is true.
So, you know, there's as much into it as, like, the production side gets out of them.
This is true. Because, I think that was obviously the character they were writing for in Godzilla. It's just like that was the character they were obviously writing for in Garo, because clearly other characters had no problem, you know, showing charisma or anything of any kind of interest. And then there was Augury. I forget what the name of the main villain in the one who shines in darkness, when he actually, you know, revealed himself, I think we went on for a while about just how great his acting was in that scene.
Yeah.
And so that was obviously just what they were aiming for with Augury for whatever godforsaken reason.
Mm-hmm. Or, have any of y'all watched Dexter at all?
No.
Not really.
Never mind then.
Unless you mean The Laboratory.
Well, basically, long story short, the character that plays his sister is completely unlikable. And she gets a lot of shit for being an unlikable character. But the whole point of her character is she's supposed to not be liked by anyone. Because it's supposed to emphasize how much Dexter can't really relate to her because she's this complete psychopathic bitch. Hmm. So, I mean, if the point of the character is to be unlikable, then mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Like Augury.
Right.
Yes. Basically.
Augury is just always going to stand out for me as, like, total waste of an acting talent.
And, you know, yeah.
Never would have been that if not for Gaim, though.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, thank God he was casting Gaim. I remember when I first heard he was casting Gaim, I was like, oh, well.
Yeah.
But then, like, just his first couple scenes, I'm like,
okay.
Where the hell did this guy come from?
I wonder how Mecha Ryoma is going to be typing.
Well, you know, half his face is going to be covered, so, like, part of the appeal of him typing, where it's just, like, this joyous expression. As he beats nonsense into a keyboard.
Yeah, but I'm sure he can sell it in the eyes.
No, you know what? Since he's gonna be a cyborg, he doesn't even have to type. He just does it with his mind. Like he'll just stare intently at a keyboard, and it'll start typing by itself.
Yes.
I'm gonna hope he'll have like a hologram Ryoma typing for him.
Well, remember in the finale, I wanted there to be like a hologram Ryoma head in Takatori's briefcase. Just because.
Just because you wanted the actor in that last episode.
Yes. And I mean, why wouldn't Ryoma make a holographic backup of himself?
Maybe a computer program with his initials spelled out with periods in between the letters.
That is a good question. Why doesn't he have a holographic backup?
We don't know that he doesn't yet.
That could explain where his cyborg body is coming from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we've talked about enough fun stuff, we should probably do the show now.
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Paladin, horns are not a color.
Hey, Mickey.
Well, we're talking about gold assholes.
Paladin.
Then fill it with something.
Ken.
Why?
And Fort Max.
Well, to the bondage closet.
Fun time's over. Time for podcast. It's superhero time.
Oh. Hooray.
Yay.
Good job, guys. So last week we had a whole episode about Garo that nobody else wanted to watch. And I think that went pretty well, actually.
It was a whole series about Garo that no one else wanted to watch.
Well, I mean, it was a whole episode about the Garo series nobody else wanted to watch except for that movie episode.
Yes. It was fun, though.
That movie episode was really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's like we said, there's several really good episodes in there. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to cherry pick.
Yeah. You have to cherry pick and be prepared for the kind of series you're getting into.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for people, like some of our people here, who started with The One Who Shines in Darkness, really, and transitioned over to this.
I get the feeling you're talking about me.
Well, you, Paladin, Fort Max... Basically anyone who's not Ken, because Ken at least gets it. Which is not something Ken gets to hear very often.
Kind of nice for once.
By gets it, I mean, hey, Paladin, what's in the news?
Well, Dino Charge toys are out.
Okay.
Okay.
Mickey, have you found any yet? Oh.
No, damn it. I've checked like 3 days in a row.
Okay, so that's...
They've only been out for 2 days.
Yes, that's my frustration level.
Okay, so that covers my next question, which is, are you going to buy some Zords?
I will buy the Zords, nothing else, just because Zords are fun, especially Zord Builder Zords.
Mm-hmm.
So just Kyoryugen and the limbs, like the arms and stuff.
Yep, the first five are all out now.
So how does it come with just the first, the core three, and then the other two are separate?
Yes.
Okay. So just like Japan, then.
And did the Triceratops manage to be pink?
Yes, it's actually pink.
Okay, then.
I'm impressed. You know, good on Bandai there.
It was probably never purple in the first place.
There'll be a running change to make it red.
If you've seen the package, that is plenty of red as it is.
You know what? That'll be the that'll be the refresh for Dino Supercharge. They'll release the basic Megazord, but all three pieces will be red now.
So that sounds a lot like Carriage. I'm sorry.
Snap.
And yes, the Morpher is actually the Gab Revolver.
What
was that?
Princess Bond is probably begging Toei to just do a series of the all red Rangers because that's all we want to make.
That's all we want to sell.
Well, that's all Toei wants to have either. So,
why do they bother with other colors?
I don't see the problem here. Let's just have variations on red. So Paladin, what were you saying about the revolver?
Samba gun.
Well, they may have taken the Samba music out. I haven't checked the reviews yet, but it's pretty much the same. It has orange tips, but I think it only loads one battery now.
How many did the other one load?
Two.
Okay, well, whatever.
it's like double-barreled, I guess.
It is a bit smaller, so I suppose it makes sense that way.
Well, American kids do have fatter hands, so that makes sense they shrink it down.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, I saw like the stock photos for that, and you can tell the person holding it is like having to really squeeze their hand up to keep it on just the grip and not hang down beneath it.
It's a good thing that I don't like that Morpher, and I don't really want one.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it as a Morpher. Kind of cool looking gun, though. Plus, you know, when you combine it with the sword, it looks like a shotgun, which is not a bad thing either.
And it apparently kept that feature, so yay.
I just hope that when you spin the barrel, it plays, you know, a bad remix of the original Power Rangers music.
Like, it's not even electronic. It's just, like, one of those drums with the needles sticking out of it.
A music box.
Yeah. But you know, it's completely manual. You just have to keep turning it with your hand. No crank or gears or anything.
Plink, 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 plink.
Excellent.
And they get the guitar solo apart, and the little needles are just bouncing all over the place.
We've just invented the best roleplay toy ever. So, I mean, what all is out? Just the Zords and the roleplay toys?
Yes, nobody's found the figures yet. Aside from the motorcycles.
Don't they only throw out the shitty large action feature in the first palette? What, the Triamese put your thumb on their back and wiggle their waist back and forth?
Usually.
Yeah, there's probably
some of those. I don't think anyone spotted that yet.
Usually one of the first things you see.
It's unfortunate. The only action figure thing I could theoretically see myself wanting wouldn't probably come along until next year.
What's that?
The whatever they call carnival form for Dino Charge.
Oh.
That'll be the Supercharge.
Well, you can have that.
Yeah, I don't mind that upgrade, actually. I mean,
I don't like Carnival at all.
Or do you just think that because you didn't like the show at all? It could be a factor.
That and not liking Daigo, this might be related.
Well, look on the bright side. Since it's a Power Rangers line, there will be a Carnival form for every color that's not female.
Oh, everybody but pink.
And violet.
Well, there's a male violet.
Yeah, but it may not get much use in the toy line.
I imagine he'll be cut from the show.
Could be.
Not if they're using two. If they're spreading it across two seasons, that seems less likely than just trying to cram 50 episodes of Gosager and Shinkenger and Gokaiger into 40 episodes.
Wow, they tried to cram 150 episodes into 40.
Well, no. He's trying to cram 100 episodes into 40.
But you said Gosei, Shinken, and...
I stopped myself. I was going to say Shinkenger. I was like, no, I meant Gokaiger.
No, I prefer the idea that they took...
They'll keep the violet Zord and everything. They'll just reshoot the footage so that the Red Rangers got control of it.
Well, again, understanding that's... most of the time in the show, that actually was the case anyway. So
that's
no reshooting necessary.
No Ranger.
hope Tommy's in it.
Yeah, it's entirely possible the fact that I dislike Daigo so much in the show is probably a good reason to why I don't like Carnival either.
I still think it looks better than Hyper Tokyo One.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, you're wrong.
See, we are completely unbiased on this show.
Carnival just always
my opinion
like
is factually correct.
Yes.
It's backed by science.
Yes, it is completely objective.
Carnival just always looked like this great, like, super toyetic gimmick that never got toy support. And it's gonna get super toy support. Like, you know, that is a perfect armored might figure.
You know, somebody at Bandai Japan saw that. They're like, I mean, Bandai of America saw that. They were like, "Oh yes." Zip.
Well, there is an intro quote. Any other sound effects you'd like to provide us with, Ken? I can cut some things together here.
We'll see where the show goes.
So anyway, Paladin.
Okay, in the topic of new material, we have a price and release date for Saban Zio Rangers. It'll be out on February 17th.
Yeah. Well, there's kind of an important difference there.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Shout Factory Zio Rangers will be out on February 17th for $55.
Now we just need to work on your pronunciation because it still sounds like you're saying Zio Rangers.
The important thing is coming out right around my birthday and for an affordable price.
Yes, and you can get it for about $50 right now on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So it'll probably go a bit lower before then too.
Yeah.
So like pre-order on Amazon. So like the good thing is if you pre-order it on Amazon now, if the price does go down, you will get whatever that price is.
Right.
When they first put it up, it was at $39.
Yeah. Oh. So that's why you should have pre-ordered it immediately.
Probably a complete coincidence, but that's probably when Dino Charge will be starting too.
Just about.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a lot cheaper than I was expecting for that series.
It's roughly on point for what I had in mind for this.
It's a Shout Factory release. They don't do expensive.
I was thinking 60 on the upside.
Yeah.
Shout Factory loves us all. They want us to have nice things at affordable prices.
Then why do they give us Victory?
Well, they do list it as something like 170 episodes, so I'm thinking something got confused somewhere.
On the other hand, with Victory, it's kind of like work with what you have. What they have wasn't much.
Well, they could have given us like Beast Wars 2nd and Beast Wars Neo.
Yeah. Aren't those supposed to be even worse?
They could have done decent. They could have done decent translation jobs, but you know.
I thought Beast Wars Neo is supposed to be like sub Rescue Bots level age group.
I don't think it's quite that. I think that's been exaggerated a little bit over the years.
I'd like to at least see it just to be sure.
But you know, since nobody will ever like obtain the video and actually do the work to translate it, we'll never know.
I've done that first part.
Okay, have you watched any?
Not beyond making sure that I didn't.
It looked better than
Visit
Sailor Moon.
So you can't tell just from watching Raws then if it's actually as bad as people say it is.
Right.
Okay. Well, as long as you could tell if you watched it, but you haven't watched it. Yes.
I haven't watched it.
I understand. Right. Another drink then.
That's probably what Fort Max is thinking right now.
Okay. Take a look at the scans of the Gaim section of Movie War Full Throttle.
Why?
Because Kota is now a friend to all living creatures.
Also, this isn't the link.
Ah, crap.
We're professional.
Well, I feel happy we both went for the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, Kota, what the hell? How did you populate your planet with that? With my...
No, those are fruit animals.
But the more important thing about this, Orin is in the movie.
Yeah.
And apparently giving Bando tips.
Yeah, I particularly like that there's like a half page spread on different fruit parfaits.
Yeah.
I like to think that Orin just bought him out.
Maybe.
I also like Takatora's Elvis Henshin pose here.
It works.
I know we're probably not going to cover this movie, but still, more Gaim is always good.
We may very well.
If it's not as terrible, you know what? It has Ryoma in it. We kind of have to.
Yeah. And Dragonfruit Arms, which is kind
even of for as terrible as the last Gaim movie war was.
It is Ryoma and Orin.
Because there is a teaser trailer for it out too.
Yeah, it looks like your standard movie war teaser trailer.
It looks like they put Kota on a box, so he'd be not so much shorter than Shinosuke.
You mean Gaim filming techniques 101?
Yes. Like that's
and
why he's like
Kota's a backseat driver.
Like in this picture with the rabbit.
Uh huh.
The whole reason the rabbit's there in front of his feet is so you can't see the platform they put him on.
No, I think that's a reference to when the Gaim and driver in the Tridoron and Kota is yelling at him.
No. The rabbit's just there to hide the platform that Kota's standing on in this photo. Driver.
No, the rabbit's there because Rob Liefeld drew that scene.
Oh, okay. And Kota doesn't actually have any feet.
Right.
Good to know.
Because it's incredibly confusing the way feet meet the ground.
Ankles are tough.
Yeah. No, not really. They're one of the weakest points. Like one solid hit to the ankle and it just breaks. They're not tough at all. I'm sorry, what?
I don't even know anymore.
I'm sure we can stand, 25 minutes of drive for, 25 minutes of...
And maybe drive in the movies will be like Wizard in the movies and bearable.
Maybe.
Maybe monkeys will fly out of her butt.
And anyway, there's always, Kamen Rider Loop on there also to provide some entertainment.
Certainly has something Drive doesn't, which is style.
And personality.
That too.
I saw someone suggest on Twitter what would make Drive at least fun to look at again. Mm-hmm. Which would be if Type Technique, the green one, if the tire was on the head. It was basically, a tire sombrero.
You just headbutts people?
Yes.
I could go for that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't probably be watching it, but, I'd go for that.
Kamen Rider Laundry. What?
I'd buy the toy of that.
Yeah.
This is true. That's all Bandai cares about, really.
No, he'd just be Kamen Rider Lombre. Be perfect.
Yes.
So Paladin stuff.
Okay, more Metal Hero figure arts.
The Kabutak and Jam Person?
Precisely.
Yeah. Are those actually going to come out, though?
Weren't those those are the no photo ones, so probably. And you see that nice big sign down at the bottom.
Well, there was no photo stuff, too, that actually got no photoed.
Yeah.
Which is surprising-ish.
Yeah.
And then there's no photo stuff that got photoed that got the no photo sign blurred out.
what are we missing from no photos, then?
Overlord Baron?
Yeah, they keep reporting that Lord Banana was there.
Yeah, one we care about. Although Kabutak looks neat.
It's the wrong mode.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my problem.
But it's also the one I would have expected them to do.
If this were an SIC figure, you'd get both in one toy.
But
and it'd be horrifying.
Yeah, that's the same, but it would be like SIC Futokun. I'm so sad it doesn't exist in actual.
Well, I mean,
I am.
It's just like Figuarts Kabuto writers, where you're never going to get masked forms, even though for some of those writers, that's the superior looking form.
Yeah.
Like, masked form Gatak, that's the ideal Gatak for me. And the sword looks really cool, too, with all the tubes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not as great in just writer mode.
However, honestly,
you know how we're talking. You know, we're talking about them. You know, kind of running out of things to use in figure arts.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they get more renewals of the Kabuto bodies if they did just go ahead and do the mass forms.
I mean, they showed like when they were advertising the renewal Kabuto, I think they showed like CAD work for a mask form.
Yeah, so I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we eventually see at least like Kabuto and Gatek.
On the other hand, there was an actual prototype of Master Asia for 5 years before that got a release date.
Yep.
So, you know.
But now they're doing G Gundam everything. They have a new Domon, they have Robert Damashii's of God, Master, and Shining coming. And I think
Doing a new Domon?
Yeah, they're doing a new Domon with in his regular civilian outfit.
I didn't hear about that.
You missed that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was in the last show, I believe. With all this other stuff.
Is he going to come with, like,
an exterior Domon anyway?
Is he going to come with, a little photo of his brother to show
people? God, I hope so. It has to.
Yeah.
It has to.
I mean, all they really have to do is, like, print that on the packaging.
But, yeah, the version I saw, he didn't have his cape, but that would probably be terrible on a figure art anyway.
That's never stopped him from doing capes before.
No, but I imagine if he does have it, it'll probably just be an optional thing.
Probably.
But yeah, that I saw that. I was like, oh, yes, that's the one I want. I don't really care about getting him in the Trace suit anyway.
Uh-huh.
Especially since it's such an old body at this point.
Although, speaking of figure arts, capes, and release dates, here's Tuxedo Mask.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Tuxedo Mask and Chibi Moon's coming too.
Ugh.
He'll be out in April.
Reaction to which thing, Mickey?
Chibi Moon.
But Tuxedo Mask looks okay.
Well, you know.
I like his sassy girl, you don't know you didn't pose.
So he looks like Tuxedo Mask is what you're saying.
So with those two coming out, that means they're either going to
scrolling down.
You saw the Mars, did you? We can ignore
Jesus.
This either means we are A, going to move on to the Starlights, or B, worst case scenario, they'll start doing crystal figures.
Well, they're doing crystal designs as zeros, which seems perfectly up to their speed.
Yeah, completely static and not moving.
Yeah. Whereas you can actually have fun with original Sailor Moon designs, just like original Sailor Moon is fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Ken, you're still watching Crystal on Hulu, right?
Occasionally. I'm a little bit behind.
So you didn't see this past weekend's episode. Fort Max, did you see it?
I saw enough.
I have not yet.
I saw reactions to this past weekend's episode.
They came out of Hong Kong.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that part. Did they fix that yet?
Not that I've seen.
Because I know that happened once before with Tiger and Bunny, and they fixed it quickly. But
Afternoon. I haven't gone back to look again, but I mean,
I just saw reactions to the content of the episode, and that it was not great.
Crystal, I mean.
Yeah, but it was particularly not great. But yeah, that's very odd.
I mean, the subtitles have not been superb the whole way through, but this was a new low.
No, it's like the ones for the original series have been pretty polished, but that's because they've been working on this for months and months now.
Right, and like, you know, other shows, they have the scripts way ahead of time so they can work on the subtitles and have it all finished. And it seems like with Crystal,
but
it's like,
shows,
you know, they're handed the... Like, with Crystal,
other
it seems like
shows
handed...
are not coming from Toei.
Like I've been trying to say, you know, it's like Toei's handing them the episode of Crystal the night before it's supposed to go live.
That would not surprise me. It's Toei.
And it's like, you know, here you go. Have fun. Get this sub by 3 a.m.
is a company that produces things up until the last minute that they're supposed to air. Almost literally in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's all anime.
Yeah, but it especially shows with Toei.
So, yeah.
It especially shows with Crystal. It took 2 years to get on the air and is bi-weekly, yet they still can't seem to get finished episodes out on time.
On the other hand, at least
episodes out, not finished episodes.
But hey, the Blu-ray stories for the double look great.
I'm sure. I might sit through. At this point, like, Crystal is like drive to me. I was like, and I just don't. I don't care enough to really pursue it.
Well, save the drive stuff until we actually get to that point in the show.
I might watch it when it comes out in dub.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, I don't really care enough. Not anymore at this point. It's like the subtitles for.
You still haven't watched Stars yet.
No, I haven't.
Well, I haven't either.
You're watching Crystal. I hate you.
I've only been watching it because it's been showing up on my Hulu subscription list, like the original series where I'm watching through it.
You just do whatever Hulu tells you to do instead of doing what I tell you to do.
Maybe you should change your name to Hey Hulu.
It's like, you know, it's like the Hulu stuff is like knee deep into R now, so I figure I just might as well just go through that.
But R is not very good.
So you don't want to, like, get in up to your elbow in Stars?
Yeah, I do have Stars sitting on my hard drive, I will admit. Which probably makes Mickey even angrier.
It does?
I guess I should watch that. I really want to rewatch S, though, first.
I watched the original dub of S for the first time a couple months ago.
Why?
I'd never seen it.
With the cousins?
Like, I'd never seen S at all. Before a couple months ago, so.
Didn't you used to hate Sailor Moon?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Because I can swear back when we first started the show, we did the Sailor Moon episode, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm not watching this.
Yeah, but that's just XV.
I think I wasn't super interested in watching Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon. But, like, I don't have a problem with Sailor Moon at all.
But then,
in general.
But come on, you saw me, like, constantly carrying around pork rinds with her in that.
Or big cubs, Carl.
I know, and Mercury
somehow
is a psychopath.
It's endearing, unlike with, I guess we'll get to that. But,
news?
We were talking about news, weren't we?
Is there news?
The only other
Crunchyroll has Ultraman Leo.
So is there news?
I kind of like, but you know, whether or not you care about Ultraman, I know none of you do.
No,
but
yeah, that's why I'm skipping this other part in the news.
I tried with Ginga, but then they stopped having episodes and they stopped subtitling episodes.
Yeah, Ginga's not really a good example
of anything.
It's not a good example.
Ultraman Leo, good.
Which one?
The one they're subbing.
Is it good?
Oh, Leo, I haven't seen yet. Max is pretty good.
Mebius is really good.
Max is good. You know, when they get the when they don't leave translation notes in the subtitles.
Good job.
Whoops.
So anyway, news, Paladin?
Well, it's still just a rumor, but we may have a hint about who the producer is for Ninninger.
Okay.
Like, can you imagine?
Apparently, Takayuki Suzuki, who was one of the head producers for Kaku Ranger, was in New Zealand recently, and he showed the Dino Charge crew some concept art for the Ninninger suits and designs.
Ah. Ooh,
and apparently they liked them.
Okay. He's like, oh, God.
They liked them.
They're saying, thank God, it's not trains.
I said, oh, this stuff looks awful. I can't believe you guys are doing that.
And I guess the actors were also invited to come tour this set in Japan after Dino Charge was finished filming.
Or at least Yoshi was.
I assume Yoshi's just the one talking about it and everybody got the same invitation. It'd be kind of a dick thing to just invite one of them, while the other ones are just looking on across the table.
So it would be a Toei thing to do then?
Yeah. Well, remember when Overdrive's Red Ranger was photographed on the set of Goanger?
No. Not really.
Yeah. No?
That requires paying attention to Overdrive.
Well, at least Fort Max remembers.
Doesn't require paying attention to Overdrive. It would require paying attention to Goanger.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. That's something that you want to do actively. But yeah, that was a thing that happened, so probably, you know, next year we'll get a photo like that and have everybody forget that this part happened and be like, hey, crossover. Or something stupid like that. Because that's what happened when Overdrive dude turned up on the Go Hunter set. Because people are stupid.
Yep.
Can't argue with that at all.
So
and
I assume
think
that
pretty
means,
much it this week.
Yeah, I assume that means we run out of news if you're talking about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I knew you didn't care about Ultraman or Drive, so.
Well,
bottom of the barrel.
Speaking of Drive, Ken is going to deliver a very special summary of.
Are we doing that first, are we?
Episode, what, four? Was it four?
Five.
I think
five?
We left off at five.
Five.
Five. Five.
V.
V, yes, yes. Episode V. It did not stand for victory. So, yeah, this episode. I haven't seen the subs.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have to go into a great deal of detail. It's more, you know, the ending of the story that matters.
Right, right, right. So, I watched the live stream the week this came out. It's Tokyo Jeep, which is fucking awesome, but we'll get to that. Oh, sorry. sorry. and...
What?
Was that?
What?
I said, woohoo, not me.
So yeah, okay,
intro
you know,
quote.
The episode starts with the big fat Roid Rage, Roid Beard, whatever.
I kind of like Roid Rage in this game.
You know, causing
the
trouble or whatever.
Roid Mute, who's part of the trio from Rescue Force.
Really?
All three of the main Roid Mutes in this episode are the. That trio is the trio from Rescue Force.
Anyhow, so.
And Hurricane Yellow's in here too.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
That's not important, just, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, Drive shows up. There's a fight, I guess. Rena is spying on it. And, you know, cutting ahead a little bit, there's a discussion. At the police station, that is basically, gee, I wonder who this Kamen Rider is. Like,
which is great because while this is going on, Shinosuke is sitting at his desk, flipping a shift card back and forth in his hand.
Right.
He's got
there's
the
this
damn...
guy with the shift cards that Drive has on his side all the time, that Shinosuke has him on his side all the time, that Kiriko has on her side all the time.
And nobody puts it together.
Driving a one of a kind car. Where the only difference between his and Drive's is that a panel retracts. And then Rena sees Drive getting out of this car. And later in the episode, Kiriko is in the car with Drive and not Shinosuke.
Also, you know, Shinosuke is wearing the shift brace thing the
yes,
whole time, too.
That Drive always has on his wrist.
Right.
The entire time.
Right.
Who the hell could Drive be, I wonder? And there's some stuff and some fighting, and I think Chase might have been there and stared at the camera for a while, you know, awkwardly, like his actor seems to be the only thing he can do. And, or, you know, in fairness to his actor, but the only thing he's being allowed to do, as we have just discussed with Ryoma and Aguri's actor.
Sure.
I'm sure he's a great actor. I'm sure everybody in this show... might be a great actor if they were giving crap to work with. Speaking of crap, about, you know, 16 minutes into the episode, I realized I could either sit here and watch this episode or I could go take a dump. Now, if you want me to review my bowel movement, I could. It was actually pretty good.
Are you walking?
It's very relaxing.
Told him like that.
It was very relaxing after sitting through 16 minutes of Drive. And that's the episode.
Yo, here's the... And you missed the best part. The part where he can't use his new form because, oh, we have to stretch this into two parts.
Yeah, that was about, you know...
And the part was rip off Forze and make it dumber.
I think I was wiping at that point.
And that, I think, will be the final word on Drive for a while. I was wiping at that point.
That is my enthusiasm
for this
show.
All the more meaningful is it's one of your dumps we're talking about.
Yes, exactly. It was actually a pretty good one, too. I was impressed. There's something very cathartic about that.
You know,
this
between
went to
this,
a weird place.
Between this and in the pre-show, Mickey just suddenly taking off to go have a shit. If JD were here, he
right then.
If the spirit JD is alive and well.
Yeah, if JD was here with us in person right now, he would just be grinning from ear to ear.
As he podcasted from the toilet.
He would be so proud.
Yeah, he would.
I think that was one of my best summaries ever.
It was. I liked it.
So, yeah,
I kept it in mind this whole time since we talked about that last week.
Glad I did not disappoint. But yeah, I tried. I couldn't. I can't.
Do we think like, they tried it all, or are they just working by the numbers here?
I don't think they did. It's like, you know how that there's that gold star, you tried. Then there's that gray one that's like, I don't think you really tried at all. That's Drive. if we had like chapter images, that's what I would put up for this summary.
I don't know. I think if we had chapter image, I would just put a toilet up for this part.
But this is Drive in a nutshell.
Do we want to click that link? Oh.
Really looking like Double was just essential.
Fluke.
Was
Riku? I saw
just
Sancho
Riku
fluke.
Sancho's Agito.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like okay. After Double, he pitched it on Forze. But Nakashima was in control of that writing wise. So you know,
it's like when Agito's been assistant, when Inoue was assistant writer on Kuga,
right?
Or
that wasn't
his Gokaiger episode.
Or his Gokaiger episode, or his Garo Makaisenki episode, which was the poker episode, which was great.
Or even like Inoue had a couple of good O-Ranger episodes. Just to the point where they're subbed now.
Yeah.
Like, there's one that's super in a way in the wrong way. But otherwise, his contributions have actually not been bad.
Right. And there is, and then, because after, along with, or about the same time as Forze, or right before, no, actually, he did Cross Wars before Forze. So he was in charge of Cross Wars. Digimon Cross Wars. That, now, on the one hand, that show obviously had a lot of meddling from above, because we have seen storyboard stuff that showed that the original plan for the show was significantly different. However, at the same time, it doesn't change it from being, and this is saying something considering
blah blah Digimon.
No, I'm talking about the writer here. I'm talking about the
writer.
Thank
you.
This is saying something considering it is Japan and Toei, but it's also like really one of the most incredibly sexist shows I've seen in a long time. Which is saying a lot. And, like,
because you watch a lot of sexist shows.
Well, I do watch a lot of anime, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, actually.
And Toku.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. There you go. But it just goes so far off the rails. And Sanjo doesn't help that any. At all. And I realized that looking at his episodes of Forze, which, you know, again, they're mostly good, but it has some elements to it you can point out to, like, that was him writing that, and you can tell. And then you get to Kyoreiger, which, you know, some people love Kyoreiger, but no. When you get to a point where you're a guy literally admitting to writing something just so that way he can have his 16-year-old actress kick high, that's a problem.
I'm sure Sakamoto had some input on that, too.
No, it was for Sakamoto's benefit.
Right.
So, but still, that's still an issue. And then you get to Drive, which really, really wants to be Double and is not. And it's like, watching that, I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know what I could be watching right now that had more entertaining villains and actually good action?
Anything?
Kamen Rider Wizard. That is how much I did not like Drive.
Wow.
I can positively compare Wizard to it.
Those are strong, strong words, Ken.
Yeah.
Well, I lasted until episode 8 on Wizard. I lasted until episode 2 on Drive.
That's the episode 5. Well, I didn't even last all the way through episode 5. That's the thing.
Although, to be fair, maybe Wizard just taught me what to recognize sooner.
It could well be. Like, you know, Ghost Ager, you went into the teens at least.
I made it to episode 7 of Curiager, and only because the action was good.
If I keep learning to recognize this bullshit before it happens, I'll be able to see the trailer for next series, be able to check out, and not waste any time at all.
Yeah, Drive doesn't even have, you know, good fights. I mean, the fights are boring. It's like
they are.
It's like Chase will show up. They'll kind of just push each other, push and shove each other for a while, and then, you know, he'll run off, and then I guess then he'll go use some special effects on the monster, and then.
Takayo must be so bored doing this series.
And you know, also I have to think, like you're talking about how they. You know, artificially stretch out the...
Who's medicating?
I had a headache.
Ideally, all of us.
Pills, remember?
Pills here.
pork rind pills?
Found some pills! Oh, that's it. But like, the dry doesn't even have action going for it. It's just... Oh, okay, you're talking about how it is... Apparently, it artificially stretches out the episode to the two-parter. And I remember, like, in episode 4... I remember in episode 4, it was like... It was only because the belt did not tell him. I am willing to almost bet when you get to episode 6. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, you should have done this.
Well, I couldn't tell you that because I stopped watching the subtitles. So there you go.
There are so many better things to do with 25, 30 minutes of your time than watch Drive, like the Kapoop.
Or, you know, get some Bioman.
Bioman.
Okay, so, Mickey, I'm going to present you a choice right now.
Oh, God, it's like choosing your own child.
This is a Sophie's choice, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what this is.
It could well be. So, would you rather summarize Tokuger or Bioman?
See, you know he likes you because he's actually giving you a choice.
Actually, I'm going to turn this question around to see if any of y'all would prefer to do one or the other, because I'm fine with doing either.
I'm not sure I finished Bioman, to be honest.
All right, then, I'll do Tokuger and Paladin will do Bioman.
Okay.
No, we're not doing that. Paladin would just ruin Bioman, and I have to take over anyway.
Not doing that to Bioman. How about... Well,
oh, no, God damn it, they're on to me.
I mean, do you want me to do a real summary?
If you want to.
I could do Tokuger.
If Mickey's cool with that, that's fine.
I is fine.
Okay, so, Ken.
Okay, so...
You're up once again.
So, back at the... 35. What was that? What was the name you came up with for Zed's Lair last time? I forget. It was really good, too. Anyway, that is Pimp Palace.
I mean, that's good, too.
Disco Pimp Palace, let's say.
I think that might have been it, actually.
It might be.
I'm pretty sure the word disco was used somewhere.
I know
and
disco
palace.
Somewhere in there.
I think it is Disco Pimp Palace, actually.
It is now.
I think we should just roll with that name for now on.
Yeah. So at Disco Pimp Palace, Zed is mulling over the realization that something is not quite right with him.
He's got a fat girl in him.
He does. And
he needs some Tums.
He bursts out fully transformed. And yes, that is a euphemism. And everybody's like, what the hell's going on? And, well, why are you shooting us? Because Zed has some pent-up darkness he needs to shoot off. Yes.
So what you're saying is he's been holding it for a very long time. And...
Oh, yes. He's got.
After looking at this girl in the mirror all day.
He's got blue.
He's
balls.
Got black balls.
I guess that's even better. Okay, so anyway,
I think that means he needs to see a doctor.
They sent several long phallic trains shooting all at once for every part of
the summary is going.
Ah, well, that's funny because I was going to mention how they forcibly penetrate the hyperterminal.
Yeah, well, that's just what they do.
Tries to resist.
I like how the president has the phone up under his mask, quote-unquote mask.
Well, how do you expect him to hear with the phone on the outside?
Although when the Darkliners penetrate, the mask falls off, or his head falls off, I should say.
It's unclear.
It is disturbingly unclear if it is the man or the mask. But he puts that back on crookedly.
In any case, what we have going on here is that this is a completely failed station.
Yes.
There are rape trains.
There are.
I have been waiting for that.
So anyway, the Rainbow Line gets a notification and they all, you know, take off. Well, most of them anyway, because... Akira's like, okay, I gotta go do something. I'm going to single-handedly go get the Drill Express back from Schwartz.
You're skipping a few steps, though.
Oh yeah, that's right. They
take the trains and try to ram into the...
because that worked so well for them.
They tried double penetration.
Yeah.
They found out the hard way that ramming it in never works.
At that point, it's far more than double. I mean, we have reached the...
Yeah, because there's seven rushes in there.
There are no more holes to fill.
Yeah, this is just like full-on gangbang now.
It's kind of like those old Ripley's Believe It or Not photos of the dude smoking like 40 cigarettes at once.
Yeah.
Or is it a train station full of trains?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
President has escaped through a hole.
Right. Anyway, and meanwhile, Schwartz is back where Zed ripped himself out of Greta, and finds a piece of Greta's clothing. Not really disturbing at all.
Once again, we got to bring up that damn handkerchief thing.
Yes, we do. We'll bring it up again just because you have a problem with it. So the president has escaped. He makes his way onto the Rainbow Line, and has difficulty entering. Wright
best introductory scene, man.
Yeah, Wright is really the only one that seems to take issue with this. Everybody else, kind of handles this casually, including Kagura, who is like, "Oh, he's a rabbit. Okay."
No, he's not the rabbit. He's the president.
The president.
And Wright still does not understand that word.
So we ought to take after him?
Yes, but apparently they need 13 rushes in order to do something nice.
Well, nice is maybe a little strong.
No, it's very nice. We'll get to that. But Schwartz still has the drill rusha.
Even though it's not a Rainbow Line thing, simply because he likes drills.
Yes.
I love that.
Wait. Let's just touch for a moment here about the president's powers to shut up a conductor.
Yeah, let's get to that. Because every time conductor tries to
invisible wedgie.
No, that's not a wedgie. That's a hangman's noose.
Yes. So the question is this just a silly effect, or does this dude actually draw an invisible noose around the conductor's neck every time he wants him to shut up?
I'm going with that.
Yes.
What is the more disturbing answer? That is your answer.
Like, okay, so I've given this some thought, actually. And what I think is the whole, like, the beings that make up the Rainbow Line,
yes.
Their entire society is built around the process of puppetry.
Oh my god!
So as the president, he has the supreme power to pull the strings of everyone beneath him.
Oh my
so he's just
god.
Yanking up on, conductor's strings and
that's
disabling
even more disturbing.
Uh-huh.
Like
I know, that's why I thought of it.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So they are an entire society and civilization built around the framework of everyone is a puppet.
I hope they never actually reveal what's going on with the president, because everything we're coming up with is so much better than anything they could possibly do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like just being the whole a shadow side story that's not being told.
Yes.
Just being alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
So, meanwhile, while Akira goes to single-handedly get the drill rusher back from Schwartz, Zed is just kicking it back in the president's chair, which I kind of like. He's like, hey, I got a new throne. Let's see here. What's going on with these losers? Because now they can spy on the Tokyuchers firsthand. So the Rangers head off to go
enter
on
the crack.
Yeah. On foot.
They head out to penetrate the situation for themselves.
From behind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Kaito, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little from the side.
Ryoma's crack was the best.
So okay, they are headed off by Noir, Granny Goodness. No, not Granny Goodness yet. Just Noir and Nero.
Mm-hmm.
So they transform. Fight. And then Granny Goodness shows up.
Granny Goodness does like a really good Mary Poppins impression.
She does.
Except without the umbrella, because she's not Noir.
Yeah, everything in this show.
She just kind of plummets.
Yeah, everything in this show is great.
She pops her way into the scene.
She does. And meanwhile, Akira finds Schwartz with a little effort and makes no real introduction. It's just like, transform, we're fighting now. Because he knows that starting with a discussion is not going to do anything.
And hey, look, man. Akira has learned to like integrate dropping his weapon into his fighting style.
Yes, yeah. He weaponized losing his weapon.
He's kind of insane now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now
he's just learned to turn that insanity to.
Yeah, he's focused his insanity.
He's focused his insane. His suicidal insanity. And that's kind of the great thing about Akira. It's like anything he does, she's like, that's crazy. It could kill. Oh, well, okay.
And I think he's figured out now that, like, you know, every time I try to find somewhere to die, I win.
So
I'm
going to fight one of the most powerful villains in this show who cannot be killed even by the most powerful villain in this show and fight him all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Although another thing I did like is how he uses his shadow powers, too.
Because, yeah, he still has those, and the writers remembered it.
Yeah. But meanwhile...
He them to run away.
Yeah, he uses that in place of a smoke screen.
Yeah, but it's still pretty cool. Regardless, meanwhile, Zed shows up and releases all of his pent-up darkness all over all the Tokyuchers.
Especially
all over their faces.
Yep.
Hot glue.
Yep. Dark hot glue.
That'll leave a stain.
Yeah. So, Zed proceeds to beat the crap out of the Tokyuchers until they're untransformed, while Akira untransforms.
Well, first he interrupts the fight with his Tokyuchanger, saying, hey, hang on, I have to take this.
Yeah, there's that.
He blows his cover by answering his cell phone.
Yep. But, And that's enough to take Schwartz by surprise, rightfully. Enough to that I don't think that hard hat would have stopped that sword. But
no.
He removes it anyway and bows and, you know, asks for the drill rusher back for a favor. Under
Schwartz
one.
Schwartz asks him if he has the courage to ride with the devil.
I want to. That would be an interesting version of double. So, yeah, Schwartz agrees to give him the drill rusher under one condition, which we don't see. Because, meanwhile, Zed is trying to eat right. Let that linger.
He wants right inside of him.
He does. Badly. Actually, he'll probably take just about all of them, but, you know, right first.
Well, he's the shiny one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's always important to try and catch the shiny in the horde.
Everybody else is just sloppy seconds.
I really couldn't have asked for any better with the summary either.
Yes. So, anyhow, the Rainbow Line shows up after the Zed's train picks him up, and they got all 13 now.
No. You missed the important part of this.
Oh, wait. Which part?
You know, why Wright didn't get eaten.
All right, let me go back here. What was that? I forget. I'm ahead now.
Just as Zed's about to absorb Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Rita
pushes him away. That's right.
Yeah.
And everybody called it was Rita inside. I completely forgot about that.
Although, apparently, Granny Goodness has known all along that Rita was still inside.
Of course she did. But now so does everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Or Noir already knew as well, but...
Well, yeah.
The secret's out.
Schwartz already knew.
Yeah.
The secret's out, regardless.
Yeah, and Nero's just like the odd man out. Nobody cares about Nero.
That pretty much defines his role in the series.
It does. Yeah. He tries so hard to be a good villain, but nobody gives a crap. Anyway, okay, now they have all 13 Reshas, so they're going to ram that crap. They shoot off several of the trains, and yes. They shoot off several of the trains, and then the Darkliners try to charge them, but that's okay. They charge into and ram into place anyway. All 13 at once, nice and snugly. Very impressive.
It certainly took them by surprise.
Oh yes.
Now,
but now they get the terminal special configuration, Tokyo Rainbow, which is glorious.
And has an awesome theme by Yukio Yamagata.
Oh, it's the best theme.
And Nero has a great line, too. It just stood up.
It just stands up, yeah. It's like they know. They
realize what awful merchandise this is.
Yeah,
they're totally lampshading that it's lame, but it's amazing and it's lame because it's enormous.
It's like I should think this looks terrible, but I think it looks awesome. I can't explain it.
The suit doesn't look bad, is the thing. Yeah. The suit looks fine.
The toy is the most god awful thing they've ever created, but because I cannot imagine that being anything but just holding thing that's standing up.
It is.
I mean, but, I can look at the suit and how it transforms. I'm like, that's a terrible toy. But.
But hot shit, this theme song.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need that music so badly. And it's like they even combine several Darkliners into something, and it's still smaller.
Yeah, they made a super Darkliner robo.
It's still smaller.
And where's that premium web exclusive?
As he flips Mickey? Trains in the air and takes them to his wrist and blows two of them up immediately without even trying.
Yeah. Like, your shit is now officially weak. And I like its finisher.
I'm having none of this. Y'all die. Pow, pow.
As far as, you know, sword slash finishers go, which there are a dime a dozen in Super Sentai, I like it.
The effects are very pretty. The rainbow effect they got going on the lightning.
Above its head, that's, you know, it's like that is just like, okay, yeah, it's called Tokyo Rainbow, of course that's what it's going to do.
Well, and this did one of my favorite tropes for, you know, new mecha introduction, where it's walking through all the explosions.
Yeah, it looks
without being slowed down at all. I love that, and that's not something that's happened in the last, you know, several years worth.
But even though it is a common trope, but it looks nice when they do it well.
Yeah, and this was done well despite what it was.
Because Tokyo has good model work.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like the suit actor can kind of sort of move in that thing.
Yeah!
The suit actor can move, and actually, like, this is a normal-sized suit.
It's better than, like, you know, G12. Kanzen Gokaio, or G12, or Samurai Howl.
Samurai Howl's just like, okay, so Tokyo Rainbow is a normal-sized suit, and next episode actually, like, introduces a mechanic to make it where they don't have to do filming tricks to make it scale up.
Okay. They actually, you know, it's something they actually do in the episode. They don't just say, okay, yeah, now it's regular size again.
Right.
Okay, cool.
I imagine we'll skip the intermediate step after that point, but they actually do something where it's like, okay, so it just kind of escalates again.
So basically,
the monsters get bigger.
Yeah.
The monsters get bigger than before. Okay, cool. That's cool. That's cool.
But yeah, that's why Tokyo Rainbow, the guy in the suit, can actually move, because it's just a normal size suit. It's like the Super Train Megazord. It's a normal size suit. They just play it bigger.
Basically, what they do is they just put smaller building models at its feet.
Yeah.
That gives it's an easy trick, but it's effective.
It is. Yeah.
They need to jump that bitch off a ramp.
Do what, Mickey?
They need to jump that bitch off a ramp.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, remember when the trains could fly around like the Denliner? They haven't really done that much anymore.
They haven't.
Just on their way to the combination sequences.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't had a lot of aerial foes to fight, so there's no reason to.
I remember
that one sword fight on the train back way early in the series.
Awesome.
I expect that is something we'll see like towards the end.
Probably
when they blow up their special effects budget for the finale.
Well, and it's just like in Gokaiju when we had right at the end the really massive CGI combat.
That was awesome.
Which mirrored the fight in the moon's orbit from the first episode.
Yeah.
With Gokaiyo Rider kicking the whole space fleet.
And that was when Gojuzen used the Mega Winger wings. It's like, how is it gonna fly? Oh, cool, okay.
And you know, they blew everything up with Dynaman's special power.
Yes.
Because, you know, Dynaman.
Dynaman followed by Jetman. Or is it Jetman followed by Dynaman? One or the other.
Either way, they put the two powers together to get in the air and blow things up.
Blow the shit out of everything, yeah.
That's what those two Sentai are known for.
Yep. Couldn't be anything more perfect.
The ultimate power of Dynaman
is explosions. Well, I mean, they realized that even like back in 199 Heroes, where they did the RPM transformation trick and blew up a bunch of junk troops just by changing the Dynaman with them behind them, and just they blew them up.
Dump troops.
It's been a while. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But dump troops is something that's like stuck with me and.
Yeah, same here. I know it's dump troops. I just can't remember if it was dump, junk.
Yeah.
We should all just watch Gokaidra again instead of Drive.
That's a good idea.
Come on, Mebius.
So, anyway, Tokyuger?
Oh, that's right, Tokyo Rainbow. Sorry, I got into that. I was forgetting I was going to summary for a second. Tokyo Rainbow is really awesome, and that song is really awesome. But, okay, so they win. They blow up the Darkliners.
And they're all exhausted.
Yeah, they're just worn the hell out.
I think it drained all their imagination.
And that actually reminds me of Go-Go 5 with the Super Train.
Actually, yeah. Although that was more a case where it was electrocuting them the whole time.
Yes, but you know.
That'll tend to wear you out.
Yeah. Their father really did a number there.
I believe the number was 5.
Yes. The... So, anyhow, back at the Disco Pimp Player.
Disco Pimp Palace.
Disco Pimp Palace, yes, thank you. The villains are mulling over their. Each one has a different agenda. Nero was, of course, clueless.
Right, Nero has no agenda because he's too stupid.
He has an agenda, and that agenda is Nero. It's just that nobody else cares about Nero. So, nobody cares about Nero but Nero. Nora realizes she's got to hurry because this is going to get very bad very fast. Granny Goodness is just staring longingly after Sid.
Being all like, you know... Dude, get rid of that.
Cut it out.
Get rid of that hussy already.
We got work to do.
And Zed is just mulling. So, no idea what Zed was going to do.
Well, and you won't find out next week either.
Nope. But so the Tokyugers really are kind of slowly starting to have an idea of what's going on, but they still really don't. While Akira laments over... whatever Schwartz's term was, which we don't know.
So, does anyone want to guess, though?
Something that'll probably kill Akira. Is my guess, and I think it's going to. I think there's going to come a point where he has the opportunity to die, and he realizes, oh wait, maybe I don't want this after all.
My expectation has been that, like, in one of the last few episodes, he will have finally realized he doesn't want to die anymore and be required to die. Yeah.
And then Swartz becomes Tokyo 6. Actually, I can see that happening. Because why not?
But then it wouldn't be Akira anymore and it wouldn't be fun.
No, but if they did that for a final battle thing, I could see that as actually working. Because Tokyo 6 is already...
Only if it's, you know, still the Schwartz costume, but with a Tokyo 6 helmet in place of the head.
And orange Schwartz costume.
No, normal color is just they replace the Schwartz head with the Tokyo 6 helmet.
And he has the, little vest thing.
Sure, why not?
Safety, you know, suspenders.
Slap a badge on him, put the helmet on. Done. It you know, like Sosuke Bonky, except with the helmet.
Sosuke Soul, sit.
Gunpei Soul, set it in your heart. We should just watch Go Onger again. Just watch Go Onger forever.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our favorite power playback thing, Bioman.
Yeah.
Have we done, like, 8 episodes of Bioman over the course of the show?
I think it is the most, besides, like, Mighty Morphin, maybe, it is the most done show.
But it's Bioman, it's like, wonderful.
There's not a bad episode of it.
No, there's not, it's great.
They're doing amazing things in every episode.
Uh-huh. In 1980 what?
4. Yes.
Ah, well, no wonder it's so great. It was the year I was born.
It's time now for another Dynaman moment.
Oh, hello, Uncle Wiggily.
Hello, Uncle Wiggily.
Hello, kids. You know, working with intelligent dolphins can be so rewarding. You see that slinky one over there?
Oh, yes, she's beautiful.
Her name is Karen. Tonight, we are going to perform an experiment upon her and cook her and eat her with butter.
What a scientist!
You've got your sunrise, you caught a prize, you're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites, your friends and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails, your kids and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights, your girl and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Summon the help of the Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers from a faraway galaxy. Alien Rangers, the future of Earth depends upon your interplanetary powers. We need your help.
Don't look now, Master Vile, but the Alien Rangers have summoned their mighty battle forms. And the evil plan you hatched is about to be foiled. You'll wish you've never been hatched.
Alien Rangers and battle forms from Bandai.
It's time for Power Playback.
What the man?
Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
What the man?
So this week on Power Playback, it's the most reliable toku ever.
The Biomic Soldiers.
For the man.
For the man.
For the man.
So what did I pick at random here? 29?
Yes, 29.
And amazingly, it wasn't one we've already done.
Right. I was
it's
worried
getting harder
about that.
And harder to throw darts at Bioman and get a new episode.
I know, I was kind of worried about that when I was picking that, but, you know, take your chances.
So this is like the disappearance of Tokyo or something? I don't know. I don't
the day Tokyo disappears, I think?
Yeah, probably. Episode opens up with... generic security guard guy walking through an abandoned building, and all of a sudden he wakes up in ancient China. And he seems nonplussed. The day Tokyo vanishes in Terabang.
Ah.
So, we cut the title card.
Oh, I think you didn't wait for me.
Speed, Ken.
Jeez, thanks.
Sorry, we got...
I feel so wanted.
We've got a Paladin to talk about here. We don't have time to wait for you to poo.
And then Paladin cuts out mid-sentence. As he does.
Damn it, Netic.
He can be finished.
That couldn't have been more perfect. Do you think Paladin just, like, sleeps on his headsets? And that's why they don't ever last.
I'm pretty sure I don't do that.
Okay, there you go. You're back. For now.
For now.
Alright, so after the title card, we cut to the kid whose name is, I think, Asshole?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And
I think there's a lot of those in Japan.
I believe that is an accurate translation of his name, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And he's trying to force his way into this abandoned building where his brother with the security guard is working. When Blue 2 shows up and decides, I'm going to help this random asshole kid out.
Blue 3.
So, oh, is it Blue 3?
Okay. Green 2, Blue 3.
Thank you.
Why would Green rank higher than Blue? That doesn't make any sense in Sentai.
It doesn't make sense. So he buys the kid ice cream and takes him to a lonely park playground with no other adults.
Uh-huh.
And so he's asked the kid, so you sure your brother just didn't ditch you because you're an asshole? And yeah, at this point, I have about doubts about the episode. It's like, you know, this is kind of boring. So this isn't really a Bioman quality. XP picked a dud. And then the kid punches an ice cream cone into this guy's eye. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
That's the Bioman I remember. Because he not only punches it, he grinds it in.
So you just got to give it a minute to warm up.
Yeah.
It's like an old TV.
So after that bit of awesomeness, we cut to the villains. And we get a sequence of very poorly edited events where I don't have the clue what the hell is going on.
In other words, it's the 80s.
Yes. There's a lot of teleportation, and then Blue 3 sees the asshole kid in an alleyway and goes after him, and guys teleport in, and then there's monsters. It's all very confusing.
But we do get basically to the point around here, which is that they have a special new device this week.
Right. They have the black hole bomb. And the very mention of its name prevents Blue 3 from being able to transform until the end of the episode. I'm
the
guessing it's costumes in the cleaners, or...
Sure.
Yes. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the bowling ball.
Yes. So, Blue 3 begins to kick lots of ass untransformed.
Yes, he does.
Eventually, the rest of the Biomen show up. And that's when they accidentally trigger the black hole bomb. Whoops. and here's the second part of the episode starts to get kind of awesome. And we get a lot of crazy practical effects shots.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice... the bowling ball basically starts sucking everything into it, like a black hole does.
Mm-hmm.
As you do. And they replicate that very well practically through, you know, shrinking things and slow motion shots and wires and people hanging on to trees and telephone poles being swung through the air with monster hanging on for dear life. And it's all pretty rad.
Yeah.
And anytime monster is doing anything ever is pretty rad.
Yes. But these are not your standard action shots. This is all pretty creative stuff here.
Mm.
We don't see stuff like this anymore at all.
No, this would be done with CGI, and it would be terrible.
Yeah.
CGI and bad composites, I should say.
Yeah. So eventually, the black hole bomb gets monster stuck in it, like a Looney Tunes cartoon, where he's too big to fit into a black hole.
I don't think that's how black holes work.
That's how big monsters. They can fill any hole, no matter how black.
Even your mom's?
No.
Well, once you go black, you never go back.
So, the villain's bomb diffused by monster's ass, I guess. I don't know. they make a hasty retreat.
Damn it, monster, you clogged the black hole.
He just dropped a deuce in there until it was full.
Oh, that's what you were doing earlier, wasn't it?
So this monster is JD, basically.
Yes. See, now I'm imagining a monster with JD's head on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the villains run away, and they leave their black hole bomb behind for the heroes to analyze, because they're competent like that.
Which brings us to the third awesome part of the episode.
So they bring the black hole bomb back to the Bio-Robo secret lab, and they hand it to Peebo.
This always starts out, this starts out like a story you tell when you're drunk.
This is
or
how,
when
this
you were
out,
drunk.
Right, this starts out like a story of when you were drunk.
Yes, when.
So we handed the black ball bomb to Peebo.
And Peebo thinks it's just a really great idea to turn it on.
Yes. That's one of those stories you start telling your friends and then they all cringe before you get to the punchline.
Yes, because you can all see where it's going. So, thankfully, Peebo turns off the electricity and says, "Hey, look, it was powered by this machine here. You can turn them off." And then they all slap the
Peebo. Really?
After the black hole swallowed their lunch. Damn it, Peebo.
Apparently, the villains have been planting these black hole bombs all over the city. Because you need more than one black hole if you're going to destroy a city.
Obviously.
Yeah. Which cuts to our next awesome moment in the episode where they think it's a great idea to dangle Blue 3's actor off the side of a damn building.
Okay, so I got...
Get away with that shit in these days.
Yeah, speaking of things you can't do today in Sentai.
I have an issue with this. Like, presumably he's rappelling down the building to sneakily look into the window and see what's going on. How did he get on the roof in order to rappel down in the first place?
Bioparticles.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's correct, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like if you ask that question in Gokaiser, you just explain because they're pirates. Doesn't matter what it is, because they're pirates. And Bioman, it's because bioparticles.
No, what? No. If it was Gokaiser, the explanation would be because they have a flying pirate ship.
Or just because
they're pirates.
Because right. They're pirates. Yes.
I know, it's just there's an intermediate explanation after they're pirates.
Well, you know, the Bioman and the Bio Dragon.
You'll think they're more than that.
They do.
They could have dropped him off on the roof.
There you go. Didn't. Okay. So bioparticles.
Yes. Yeah. And an incredibly unsafe looking single rope is dangling him off the side of this building. I do not see any safety wires in this shit. I see like one rope running through one pulley.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll be more awesome. Let's turn them upside down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they already lost one Bioman. I mean, it's not like they can't put another replacement.
There's more where you came from. Get on that rope.
It's like they realize we can replace you, so.
No, blue two, or three, whatever. Blue whatever.
It doesn't quite have the same ring as yellow four.
No. No.
Yellow four.
Blue whatever.
I remember your number.
So, in the midst of his death-defying descent, he looks down and sees asshole down there. So now he has to abandon his plan of whatever the hell he is going to be doing on there to go save asshole. So he catches up with him inside the office building, at which point he sees Mason dressed as a salaryman. Which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Because generally Mason doesn't bother disguising himself as anyone. He just shows up as Mason in this full face paint and everything.
The only way it would be more hilarious is if it was a monster as a salaryman.
Yeah.
And, like, he still had on the whole monster suit. They just put a regular suit over it.
Yes. So Mason points his finger and the whole room starts spinning. Which
and
means
they
Mason
end up
can
in...
make people drunk just by pointing at them.
And they, too, end up in Outer Mongolia.
Yes. They'd never find them in ancient China. Unless, you know, they're going up against Sugar Bear, which he'll find them pretty quick. Ha, huh, old commercial reference.
Yeah.
That only I really get.
Yeah.
So the villains follow them to Outer Mongolia for, I don't know why.
Because.
Outer Mongolia is nice this time of year.
Yeah, we even get some water at Outer Mongolia. Come on.
Yeah.
And they could have just dropped them off there and stopped worrying about it.
Well, they would have walked back eventually.
Well, they follow them back there and they reveal their mega robot of the episode, which is Jellyfish Cons, which is a super rad flying UFO robotic jellyfish.
It's a chandelier.
That yes. That is a fantastic combination of words for a description.
Of course it is. It's Bioman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, with the flying jellyfish revealed, the villain said, you know what? Let's shoot at children.
Awesome.
And so then the producer of the show decide, let's take our leading actor and a child and have them run through a bunch of set charges.
Yes, explosions.
What could possibly go wrong?
Sadly, nothing.
Please sign this waiver here.
They probably had to sign waivers before they ever started filming.
No, sure. This was the 80s. There wasn't...
There were no waivers.
You do this or you don't get paid.
It was a right-to-work acting set.
Like, all their contracts had this weird clause about, like, Tommy guns and... I guess it only came true for Yellow 4, though.
Yellow 4!
The villains eventually realize that, hey, we've got black hole bombs. Let's just use one of those. So they toss one out, and we get more fun wire work of Blue 3 humping trees and flying through the air. And
yeah, it doesn't seem to help him any to climb. Yeah, he keeps doing it.
Yeah. Although
like, I was like, wouldn't that expend more energy?
Bioparticles.
Okay, yes.
Question, how are they generating this much wind?
Fans?
How many fans? What size are they?
2 or 3 of those 5-foot fans.
I would think more than that. I'm like, imagine this fan the size of a building.
I think you're probably overestimating the actual scale.
No. There's like a whole Volkswagen inside pushing the fan motor around.
No, I mean, like, you're overestimating the scale of the shots.
Well, whatever.
Let him have his moment.
But yes, I support this notion that they have, like, an old Volkswagen Bug on, like, cinder blocks, and there's a fan attached to one of the back wheels, and somebody's just inside pushing the gas to make it spin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this.
So, after he escapes from the black hole.
No, not on cinder blocks. They probably just have the rad bug up on some jacks.
But this was before the rad bug.
The rad bug had to start somewhere. They've had the rad...
Well, it was probably the car that became the Rad Bug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rad Bug begins.
Oh, God. Now, let's keep Christopher Nolan well away from Tokusatsu, thank you.
Okay. So, after he escapes the black hole bomb, we get up to the trope of the villains have their hostage.
Oh, no.
So, while Blue 3 holds back Asshole to keep him from rushing off to get shot...
Why?
The villains deliver the ultimatum of, you guys take one more step and we'll kill him. The brother helpfully says, come save me right now, please. None of this, you know, save yourselves, don't worry about me. No, save me.
Mm-hmm. What a role model.
Yeah.
So, that's why he's the hostage.
Really?
Blue 3 tosses Asshole off the side of the cliff behind the rocks. At which point, Messler comes down and starts throttling the shit out of him.
I know!
Yeah, that's totally a kill choke right there.
I mean, he's pinned on his back on the ground with dude's claws closed around his neck.
The show is so brutal sometimes.
I know!
And none of it they can do nowadays. Which
case in point, Enter Red One.
Yeah, I like how he enters in this episode at 2 points, both the same way, kicking the shit out of somebody.
Well, and then like, well,
and then better than that, but it gets better than that with Yellow Force entrance,
where she shoots him in the neck with an arrow.
Yes!
Well, okay, but Red One enters first by Ryder kicking Farrakhan in the face, unannounced, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Surprise, face.
And then Yellow Force shoots in the neck.
Yeah.
In the neck. I was like, holy shit.
Well, and then after, like, Blue 3 recomposes himself and transforms,
finally,
he does this, like, drop out of the tree, this corkscrew drop, and basically drills his sword into Messer's neck.
Yeah.
Or neck, chest, like, you know.
How did the villains in this show survive this long?
Also, worth noting here, wherever they're filming this is goddamn beautiful.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it is.
This is like one of my favorite places they've staged a fight scene. And because this forest, this shrine, it's amazing.
I'm sure it's all been paved over now.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Damn, we keep doing that this week. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I'm alarmed.
A little bit.
If I remember correctly, I think this place may have shown up in the Bokenger episode of Gokai.
Oh.
Maybe.
I'm kind of wondering if, like, you know, maybe they're not encouraged to film there since it's probably, you know, a holy shrine.
Yeah.
And they don't want them to do it too often.
Maybe.
Said
like, just when they forget.
Forget that one time when, you know, they had women being kicked in the face and monster shot. Like.
Or they only filmed there when the security guard didn't show up for work.
Like, all right,
gone. Let's go there. Take cameras.
They've got somebody watching that place all the time. It's like his only job. Just sit out here and call us when there's no security. No, we'll send someone with lunch. Just sit here. Stay.
So, after the Bioman finished making up new special attacks...
Well, that's one of the best parts of Bioman.
They have infinite special attacks.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of sad there wasn't anything, like, obviously new for the robot this episode.
That's true, but, you know, Bio-Robot doesn't need a lot of special attacks because he has Super Mazer.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the super robot equivalent of the BFG 9000. It really only takes one shot.
Yeah.
There's always some new special Super Mazer attack.
Yeah.
They just take several shots because they want to.
Yeah,
and fun because they can.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's like at this point, you know what? We can win any time. Let's just like blow off some steam here.
So jellyfish cans gets even more awesome when a headless robot shows up and it lands on top to form its noggin, which is just kind of the best thing. Especially when, you know, after a fight. And Bio-Robot pulls out the Super Mazer, and he kills the shit out of it. He just killed the body, and the head's still flying around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit. We'll have to stab it straight through. Let's just gore the son bitch.
And also, I like that Bioman makes a lot of use of outdoor filming for the giant battles.
Yes.
Like, everything they don't need wire effects for, they do outside.
So, with the jellyfish cans defeated, I assume the black hole bombs don't work anymore because of... It was the only electricity that could power them. I guess they had, like, a European outlet attached or something.
Probably.
And Asshole is reunited with his brother.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. But that was another great episode of Bioman.
It was.
Bioman really never disappoints us.
No.
You haven't picked a bad one yet, have we?
No. I mean, we haven't watched all of them, but...
It's not available yet, encourage more subs to come out.
That's a pretty good average for picking random episodes.
Yeah.
Because
also, I agree. Fort Max, twist somebody's arm over there.
Sure.
I'll get right on that, I'm sure.
Like, the last episodes that came up were Silva... being introduced, and then the episode immediately after, right?
Yep.
Damn.
I think one more. I think we've had three Silva episodes.
They're like two-thirds done with the series. They might as well finish it up real fast.
Yeah. I mean, is translation the holdup, or is it somewhere else along the line?
Translation and me.
You.
You mean we could have more Bioman?
If not for you?
Well, I haven't had the time. I wouldn't have the time right now, even if we did have the translation.
Fort Max, clearly this job is taking
too
much
now,
time. But
right now, nothing is being held up because of me.
But you just said.
I guess he was saying, like, you know, if there were translations, it would still be held up because Fort Max does not currently have the time to.
It's like you can feel the tension in the recording with it, you know, just like rise.
You're going to have to come to a decision, Fort Max, of what's more important, your job or my desire to watch more Bioman.
Well, right now, I'm not. There is right now. There isn't any Bioman that I am able to do that I have ready for me.
Well, this day will come. There will be a reckoning. And you'll have to choose either your paycheck or me.
Well, now Fort Max's
and I hope
Amazon
you make the
job.
Right choice.
Fort Max's Amazon job is only seasonal, so maybe by the time that's over with,
yeah,
Bioman will start getting back on track. So yeah. Well, on that note, what do we watch next week?
Bioman.
Mebius.
The third Silva episode.
Paladin, what do we watch next week?
Time Force.
More specific.
The movie Madness 2-part.
Hmm. I don't like that.
Mm, 2-part.
Well, it was an idea.
Time Force itself is not a bad idea. I just don't really care for those particular episodes.
Mm, yeah.
It does have the Transwarp Megazord punching itself through time, though.
Now, I know we've watched episodes of things for less than that, but do we really want to watch a two-parter for just one part of one scene?
That's a good point.
It's not like this is Ryukendo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm kind of with Mickey on his thing from a few weeks ago where, like, we need to do more English stuff. And we haven't watched a lot of Time Force.
I'm trying
Let's
to
watch
look
an episode
up
of Batman 66.
No.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do that for the April Fool's episode. Either that or RoboCop.
Come on, it's 60s American toku.
Which RoboCop?
Oh, you'll see.
Oh, no!
Oh, crap.
Oh, hell no.
So, G-Bon?
What, Fort Max?
G-Bon? That's pretty much RoboCop.
So anyway, power playback for next week?
See, I'm trying to look up the Time Force episodes. Full Exposure? We could probably do something with that.
Oh my.
Here's your Time Force folder.
It's already working.
What episode is that?
The Rangers are stalked by a tabloid photographer.
So, the adaptation of, like, Time Ranger 17 or so. The introduction of Time Yellow's girlfriend, basically.
Didn't we see that Time Ranger episode?
We did.
Huh.
Which makes me hesitant to do the Time Force episode. Since we've already seen half of that.
Oh, I do remember seeing that episode now.
Yeah. Third Time's a Charm?
Which one's that?
No, I mean, try again for a third time. Maybe it'll work.
Well, that sounds like a Power Rangers episode title, though.
Yeah.
It does.
Maybe it is.
It probably is. I wonder if it is.
If it is, we'll watch that.
What if it's an Overdrive episode?
No, actually, I don't think it is. Have time for light speed.
I think we've actually done that.
Time. Brief mystery of time.
Let's do an Overdrive episode.
Oh. Okay, I'm not going to be here next week then.
What's the best episode of Overdrive?
What? I don't know. That would require me to watch Overdrive. I only watched the anniversary thing.
Okay, I searched for worst Overdrive episode, and what came up first was Operation Overdrive Part 1.
Well, that's the only episode I tried to watch besides their anniversary.
Okay. We're not doing that, but okay.
Can't fault them for being honest.
Frick.
I'm still looking up Time Force. How about Nadira's dream date?
Maybe Time Force wasn't such a good idea.
Oh.
How about Power Rangers Turbo Bicycle Built for the Blues?
Okay.
Justin is trapped on a speeding bicycle in an explosive countdown to zero.
Yeah, fine, we'll do that.
Speed with a bicycle. Right. Yeah, sure.
It's got a 1.3 rating on IMDb.
Yeah, fine, we'll do that.
Did you seriously go looking for bad episodes?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, this can't possibly fail. So I say I agree. Let's do that.
It's number two on the list of top 10. The one above it is a Megaforce episode. So no, we're not doing that.
Which episode? I gotta ask.
Last Laugh.
I have no idea which.
Like
one
we can tell them apart.
Fort Max
captured by a monster who feeds on human laughter.
Fort Max, you watched it. What episode is that?
I don't remember.
Oh.
What good are you?
Damn.
So here's three episodes in a row from Samurai.
Of course.
Yeah, not surprised.
Shell Shocked. Right. We never did Shell Shocked, did we?
I think we have, but...
I thought we did.
Oh god, a Turtles episode. I don't know, not when I've been here.
Have we not?
Giga, you listen to all this. Do you remember if we did this or not?
Somebody get on Twitter and ask him.
Oh, Nadira's dream date is on the list of one of the worst episodes.
Yeah, I know. I remember the episode.
There's a lot of samurai episodes on here.
Wow, I wonder why.
What a shock.
I wish to do I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger for Christmas.
Oh,
Jesus. No. Yes. Have we done Alpha's Magical Christmas?
No. We have not.
Oh, God,
that no. Rectified.
Oh, no.
I sense an unfortunate theme arising for December.
No! No!
However, if you're insistent on doing that, we're also doing Furbus's First Christmas.
Fine. We'll do
it. Oh, my God! What have you brought?
Okay, so...
Christmas is ruined.
Preemptively!
So, here's our schedule for December.
Oh, no.
We're going to do I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger...
Okay, that'll be on the 8th.
Whatever the hell the Zio Christmas episode was called, I don't actually remember.
15th.
Furbus's First Christmas.
22nd.
And then Alpha's Magical Christmas.
Christmas is over by then! You don't need that!
Christmas will be over by the first week.
I think that's why he's making us do it then. Because we would never do it otherwise.
Oh,
it's
no,
bonus
see,
content.
December starts on the 1st, so 1, 2, that's 4 episodes up to the 22nd. There's also a 5th week in December.
Look on the bright side. We're gonna rip this band-aid off all at once and we'll never touch these episodes again.
So what are you doing for the 29th then, after Christmas?
A New Year's episode?
We could do the Robo Night before Christmas.
Oh god. Why did I say that?
Well, they do a New Year's episode every single year in Sentai. We could easily grab one of those.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's really kind of stupid we haven't done one of those yet.
We have. We did the Go On Your One.
Basically.
Or we could do the Samurai Christmas episode. That is a clip show where they spend most of the episode stuck in the Megazord cockpit.
Ugh.
You know, if they had that with just, like, no clip show parts, I'd be up for that. But
a bottle episode?
Yeah.
Literally.
A bottle episode where you don't even have, like, the human cast on set.
The only human cast, well, they're there for a little bit at the end, but most of the stuff that's outside is Bulk and Spike hanging around G's place. Yeah.
That was the weirdest fucking thing.
Second unit, Bulk and Spike?
Yes.
And they never even interact, hardly. Maybe once or twice they interacted with the cast.
Yeah.
So
not even in the finale.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. I didn't watch the finale. Or
they were
like
an entirely separate show, basically.
I watched the finale because it went up on Netflix before it aired.
Oh. Good job.
Yeah. It's kind of like how Rocky and Bullwinkle would come to Peabody and Sherman. Except it's Power Rangers Samurai that cuts to Bulk and Skull. Or Spike.
Okay, so we've worked out December in its entirety.
What about next
what
week?
What are we doing next week?
I say we go with the Turbo episode on the bike.
Whoa, wait a sec here. Is there a Thanksgiving Power Rangers episode?
What about that one where Bulk and Skull made
Let's
a turkey
jerk? Let's find
run?
Out!
Yeah, there is a turkey jerk episode. Thanks. From season 2.
Oh, there we go.
Although I think that was part of Storybook Rangers, wasn't it?
Hold on, let's find out.
It might have
It
been,
was, because the same book fair they got a storybook... The same book fair the storybook came from, they got a cookbook from.
Yeah, that's a two-parter. Do you want to do a two-parter?
But it's a Power Rangers Season 2 two-parter.
Even worse.
A later Season 2 two-parter.
So it's when it was when it went into crazy mode.
This is true.
And this is the same period that gave us Best Man for the Job.
Don't vote for Dummy. Can we just watch that again?
May 1st and May 2nd, 1995.
Yeah, maybe a two-part would be okay since you know we only have one episode of Tokyo to talk about.
Point.
Okay. Yeah. So Storybook Rangers then.
Yeah, why the hell not?
I could probably think of a few reasons, but I guess that's what we're doing.
It's marginally on topic for the holiday.
Even if it wasn't when it aired.
Sure.
All right, then. That's settled.
Yeah. Yay.
And that closes out the month for us, right?
Yay! I think. Oh, God, what have we done?
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
All downhill from here.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. A solid month of Christmas specials.
Oh, God.
Including Saban's Masked Rider.
Oh, what have we done?
With special guest host Giga Beetle.
Oh, if only. If you can get Giga Beetle.
Maybe. We'll see.
For the Masked Rider episode, that would be the best.
Yes.
We'll see. Maybe. So I think that'll do it for the show this week.
I think we should have some kind of guest next month just to subject other people to this horror. Doesn't matter who.
Who do we not like?
Everybody?
Yeah, but, you know.
Ourselves?
Yeah.
So we got we'll already be there.
Clearly we don't like ourselves. I don't care who. It's more of a matter of I want other people to suffer now. And not just our listeners. They do enough of that already.
Our listeners aren't other people.
They're King Beetle.
So yeah, that's our show this week since we've completely defeated Ken's spirit.
Giga Beetle has transcended people.
Giga Beetle has transcended people. Yes. Great, now he'll be impossible to deal with once he hears that.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Drink your oil can.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
So oil can would be the oil sword, I guess.
Is that a metaphor? That's kind of gross.
See, now think about what you did.
It's okay. I'm just thinking about what we're going to do in December.
God, why?
I think you kind of just summed it up there.
See, you laughed now, but what you don't realize is you've damned yourself as much as us.
I did.
I thought you were talking to me.
I was.
How much of this is going is my fault since I'm the one who brought up Alpha's Magical Christmas?
Yeah, but blaming for Max. Yeah, but Blaming Fort Max is an easy, you know, fallback option.
You know what? You know what? We're all reading this wrong.
Are we?
Yeah, because okay. The answer is actually right in front of our faces.
Okay.
This is Paladin's fault.
Oh, obviously.
No, you're right.
Because he didn't come up with anything better. Paladin should have come up with something better, and then we wouldn't have had to fall back onto this whole Christmas special routine.
Yeah, Paladin.
It's not my fault you don't like Movie Madness.
Yes, it is. You made that episode. I remember seeing your name in the credits.
You're the executive producer for that one episode.
Yeah.
Haim Saban, Shuki Levy, and Paladin. Paladin.
No. It's just Paladin.
Oh.
Like Prince?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Sting? Sting.
So, Paladin, you realize there's not going to be a screenshot made to reflect this fact, right?
I kind of assumed that, yes.
I just need to find the right font.
That'll be the fun part. Matching fonts is always a pain in the ass.
Or I could go completely the other way and purposely make the font as mismatched as possible. Comic Sans.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
That's the font Paladin would choose.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
it almost is.
You know, when he was doing his negotiations...
Why would you admit that?
What, I'm not going to win this anyway. I might as well roll with the punches.
Yeah, how much worse can things get for him?
You know, I can't argue with that.
Superhero Time! Let's do it again!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.